When Jesus was arguing with the Pharisees and stuff like that, and trying to convince them of things, what he used to say to them was, "Haven't you read?" That's what he would say. And he would point them to Scripture, and he would talk about, you know, what do you know about the Messiah? What sort of information have you kind of got for yourselves about the Messiah? But when he talked to his followers, when he talked to his disciples, it was something completely different. What he would do is he would be more personal. He'd be talking to them about what he was doing. He'd relate it to Scripture, but it was much more to do with him. And two of the, if you like, most important questions that he ever asked anybody, one was to Peter and some of the other guys. He said, "Who do you say I am?" Okay, it was very different from saying, "Have you read?" Okay, "Who do you say I am?" And the other time was, he'd been talking and Philip asked the question. He said, I don't know how we've seen the Father. And the answer that Jesus gave was, do you not know me, Philip? Do you not know me? Okay, very different, isn't it? So it's, who do you say I am? Do you not know me? And not only that, what he says to Philip is this. He says, "Do you not know me, Philip, even after I've been amongst you for such a long time?" Do you know, we are not here on our own. I've felt the presence of Jesus here this morning. I've felt the Holy Spirit. And, you know, even before we become Christians, if you like, Jesus is on our case. He's amongst us. It's just that we don't always see it, or we don't recognize him for who he is. And I just want to talk about a few encounters now. Now, what I think is one of the most surprising encounters that leads to recognition in the story of Jesus is when Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is on the cross and there's a thief either side of him. And one thief is mocking him and saying, if you're who you say you are, come on, get us off this. And other people are mocking and doing the same thing. But the thief on the other side, he says something different. He starts off by saying, kind of, "Leave him alone. We deserve to be up here. We've done wrong stuff. He hasn't done anything wrong. Leave off." And then he turns to Jesus and says something which I think is amazing. I want you to realize this guy is in agony. This guy is feeling shamed. He's clearly, just by saying, "I know I've done something wrong," he feels it inside. He knows that he's not been a good guy. And everyone down there looking up at him is telling him the same. This is not a good place to be in. He does not like it at all. And he's looking at Jesus, and Jesus is kind of looking as though he's in the same place. And yet he turns to Jesus while he's in this extremity, and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He's recognizing at that point that Jesus is king. I find that astonishing, don't you? There he is, hanging in agony on the cross, and everything around him seems to say something different. And yet, he sees something in Jesus, and he says, "You are king. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knows it's not going to get him down there. He's not going to get off that cross. That's not it. He sees Jesus. Do you know, I've chatted to a couple of people early on with physical problems, with difficulties in their work and other things. And this week, I've heard stories about people who are going through it. Do you know, wherever you are, whatever extremity you are in, Jesus is still king, okay? And do you know what Jesus turned around and said to him that confirms what this guy had said and that Jesus knew that he really meant it. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I think that's cool. You know, things are not going great, but you know, Jesus has got a place for you. Jesus has got it. And maybe at the moment you're feeling it, and maybe things aren't good, and maybe you're in the worst place you could be, like that guy was, but Jesus is still King. Yeah? Here's another encounter that I love. There's this old guy called Simeon. And Simeon loves God. And Simeon is waiting to see the Messiah. That's what he wants to do. He wants to see the promised one of God. That's everything to him. And he's had a promise from God that he's not going to die until he sees him. Okay? And it's just an ordinary day, I presume. No special day. And Simeon feels, he gets touched by the Spirit, and he's asked, he's told, go to the temple. So he goes to the temple. And when he's in the temple, there's this young couple there. Now, there are loads of people in the temple, but there's this young couple who've come to have their child dedicated and whatever. Okay? Now, this young couple are just like any other couple. They don't look very special. I know they can't be special because a little while earlier, they've gone to Bethlehem, and when they've got there, there's not been any room for them. They've probably gone initially to relations, because that's why they'd gone to Bethlehem. And, you know, they've been told, sorry, guys, there's no room for you. You know, Uncle Sid's in that room, and Ethel and the family are down there, and they look at, you know, a lodging house, and no. And no one's moved out so they can move in. They're just not that special. You know, there's a stable back there. You can use that. So these are very ordinary looking people. And Simeon may never have seen them before. And he sees them and they come in. And they've got this baby with them. Now this baby, babies. I mean, some people like them, all the rest of it. But babies are babies I imagine loads of babies were coming to be, you know, dedicated and stuff like that. They're probably happening all the time. But this baby was different. Well, to Simeon it was. Anyone else looking may not have felt that, but Simeon sees this baby. It's just an ordinary baby. I love art, okay, and I quite up on Renaissance art, and I go to the National Gallery, and whenever you see a picture of Jesus, he kind of looks, you know, he's either glowing or he's got this halo around his head, looks like a golden plate, you know. That's not what he was looking at. He was looking at a baby, and he looks at this baby, and this is what he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He looks at this baby and he sees the Son of God. He looks at this baby and he sees the Messiah. He recognizes him. He knows who it is. Other people probably heard this and probably thought, really? What's that about? You know, because it's just a baby. But Simeon recognized who he was. Okay? And we need to see Jesus for who he is. Here's another encounter. Another one. There are these, Jesus has been crucified and buried. And there's these two men, and they're walking on the 7-mile trek from Jerusalem to a little village, fairly nondescript village called Emmaus. And as they're going along, they're talking about what's happened, you know. And as far as they're concerned, what's happened is a disaster. And a man comes and joins them and walks along with them. And while he's walking along with them, he says, what are you chatting about? What are you talking about? They said, and I want you to get who the name they use, right? They say, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, okay? Not Jesus Christ, not our Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. They might have said, they could have said it like this, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. We were talking about this bloke who we thought was going to save Israel, but like it didn't work out. Because that's basically what they were saying. Jesus of Nazareth, this guy called Jesus who came from Nazareth. That was it. And so they start walking along, and they don't recognize Jesus. Now, I think there's a reason for that. Yesterday, I went for a wander around London while Lane was off with Derek's wife somewhere. And I went over Tower Bridge. And while I'm wandering over Tower Bridge, I get the fright of my life. Because coming towards me are Dave and Miriam, Astrid's mum and dad. And I wasn't expecting it, so it made me jump. Okay? I just recognize them as people. You know, it's great to see them. Hi. But you see, I don't think God wanted these two blokes just to see Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth and just recognize him as someone they knew. They probably would have had a bit of a heart attack if they'd have seen him anyway, because they'd seen him crucified and knew he was buried. But that's not who God wanted them to see. And so Jesus is walking with them, and he starts to talk to them about the scriptures and where the Messiah comes in the scriptures. And they start getting stirred up inside. And then they, because of that, they say one of the best things that you can say to Jesus. They say, come and stay with us. Come and stay with us. You know, Jesus wants to stay with us, you know. He wants to come and have something to eat with us. He wants to have a chat with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to know us. That's great, isn't it? And so Jesus goes in with them, and he starts to break bread as they're having the meal. And their eyes are open. They've been thinking about the stuff that's been said, and suddenly they see who's in front of them. And they recognize this is Jesus, and he is who he said he was. I'm certain that's what happened. And he disappears. Those guys get up like a shot and they run back to Jerusalem really fast. Do you know what? That's a round journey of 14 miles. But you know, they traveled spiritually much further. They traveled much further. And when they got back, all the other disciples are kind of bouncing up and down as well and off the walls. And they start talking about what's happened and Jesus being alive. And they share. And now they're talking about Jesus as Lord, as Messiah, as the Son of God. They've seen him for who he is. They've seen him for who he is. I just want your eyes to be open to who Jesus is. Okay? He's not just some guy. You know, I want him to kind of be, if you like, lifted off the page. You know, it's one thing to read about him, but it's something else, isn't it, to share life with him. That's what's important. I'm going to read something. This is the Jesus who we're talking about, and it's at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word is Jesus here, right? So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then later on it says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He came among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the person who we can know. This is the person who we need to know more and more. We've incredibly been able to come into relationship with the Creator of all things, the beginning and the end of all things, the reason, the very reason for existence, the Savior of the world. I, wow, that's pretty staggering, you know, and something amazing. But you know, verse 10 says this, okay? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, okay? Recognizing Jesus, not just seeing him as a person or some kind of intellectual thing, but knowing him, recognizing him as the savior of the world, and in our daily lives to recognize him. And that doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you can know him more and more. Some people here, it might be weeks or months that you've known Jesus as your savior. For some of you, and I won't embarrass you by pointing you out, for some of you, it's literally decades, isn't it? You know, I'm not saying centuries, I'm not that rude, okay? But, well, I am, but there you are. You know, there's a letter, there's a verse in the letter to the Hebrews, and it almost seems to be like a motto in this church, because it keeps coming up time and time again. It's this: fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep the main person the main person. Sometimes we say keep the main thing the main thing. I'm going to turn that around. Keep the main person the main person, okay? Keep looking at Jesus. Find out more about him. I'm married to a gorgeous lady who I love very, very much. Do you know, there are times when she says something and I was just about to say it. I know what she likes and I know what she doesn't like. I sometimes do what she doesn't like, and she lets me know. But you know, it's very similar. I want to say very similar to our relationship with Jesus. After a while, we know what he likes and what he doesn't like. He knows what we are going to say before we say it. And in a way, sometimes we know what he's going to say before he says it. We just try and ignore it sometimes. But it, no offense, Lane, but yeah, okay, it happens, let's be honest. And sometimes we do things wrong. That's our relationship. But let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's do this by reading stories about Jesus in our Bibles, by praying, by sharing his love with each other, by listening to him, by allowing him to work in our lives. I mean, one of the ways of getting to know Jesus is by doing things with him. I mean, it's great coming here, but sometimes when you do things with people, you go out, you go somewhere with them, or you do a job with them, you know, around, you know, you come to a work morning, you work alongside them and you get to know them better, you know. It's not a lot different with Jesus, you know. And our trust in him grows if we go and do the stuff that he wants us to do, even if it seems a bit difficult. There are four bits about Jesus sending people out. There are probably more, and you can point them out. But did your spring just go? don't push it. There are four times when Jesus sends people out to do various things. First of all, he sends these 70 men out, 70 disciples out, to go around the local area, you know, telling about the kingdom. And he gives them instructions, and they carry it out, and they come back, and they are full of it. They are so stoked up. Wow, you should have seen what happened. Now, if they didn't go out, they wouldn't have got that. And I'm sure at times when they went, because Jesus said to them, you know, you might get kind of told what to do with yourself, but, you know, you tell them what to do with themselves. And it wasn't necessarily going to be easy, but they came back. They did it. And because of that, they had a real thrill and a desire to do more. And then you got a much smaller thing. Another time, he sends some people out, and he says to them, I want you to go, and you're going to find a donkey. I want you to get the donkey and bring it to me. And if anyone stops you just say to them, the master needs it. You know, Jesus wants to use it. And it also says, and he'll bring it back. You know. I don't know. Sometimes I get sent to do things or asked to do things, and I think, well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? I'm not sure about this. Do you mean I just go and nick this donkey? And what if I get the wrong donkey? You know, but they go and they do it. And that sounds trivial, but start thinking about it in your head. You know, you're going there, but they do it and they bring it back, and Jesus is able to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Another time, it's just as weird in a sense. Jesus says to these people, I want you to go and there'll be a man walking around with a jar on his head, like you do. And people did walk around with jars on their head, only loads of them did. You know, so how did he know? How are they going to know which one? They probably thought, okay. When you see this man, ask him about a room, because we need a room prepared for us to do the Passover meal. And so that's what's going to happen. And they do it. And they do it. They arrange this room. But you know, the last time that we hear about Jesus going somewhere and being sent somewhere, come in. You missed the best part. I'm nearly finished. That's cute. Yeah. But you know, so Jesus sent people and they do it and they come back and they've grown in their trust. They've grown in their trust of Jesus doing that. But you know, the last time that he sent people out, do you know what he said? He said, go into all the world. He's not just talking about the local area just now. He's not just talking about doing this job or that job. The next job they've got is the world. They're going to go into all the world. Now, what I like about, I like this, because if you look at the whole story and you mix it with the stuff in the book of Acts as well, what's happening is they're told to go in the whole world, and then, you know, it's explained, you go to Jerusalem, you wait for the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't just leave you hanging. He tells you what he wants. You know, if he knows you need a bit of help, he gives you a bit of help. Okay, so he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Spirit, and I want you to go, you know, I want you to tell people about me in Jerusalem, in the surrounding area, and in a whole world, okay? And the first response, you know what the first response, because what happens next is Jesus goes up, right? He ascends into heaven to his Father. And their first response is this. Wow, look at that. That's pretty cool. Oh, did you see that? Look at that. And they stand there for ages just looking up. You know. Wow. And there are these angels standing nearby. Okay. And I can imagine these angels just look at them kind of, what? You know, wondering whether Jesus has picked the right mob, you know? He's kind of looking at them thinking, come on. And goes over, now, why are you standing here staring up there? You know, get on with it. Do you know, sometimes we spend all our time staring up there and we don't get on with it. Do you know, Jesus wants us to worship. Jesus wants us to look up there, but he doesn't want us to keep looking up there. He wants us to look out there, okay? He wants us to go into all the world and make disciples of people. He wants us to show his love to people. He wants us to take him out there, okay? Now and again, we need to look up there and remember him. But he doesn't exist up there. When Yuri Gagarin went up, first of all, the first things the Russians said is, we couldn't see God, you got it wrong. No, they got it wrong, okay. Because I'll tell you where Jesus is. Jesus is in here with me. I don't know about you, but I've got Jesus in my life. And I want him there. And I want to know more about him. And I want you to know more about him. And as I say, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian or whatever. And give everything a shot. And sometimes while you're doing things, it feels like you're getting absolutely nowhere. And Dave's talked about things, and other people have shared things, and you'll all have stories about things in the past. But I think God sent me a little story recently. I'll see if I can find it. Bear in mind that this is, you're talking to me and stuff like this. Hang on. Bear with me a moment. I won't be too long. Okay. Right, story is this, right? I try and keep it brief. Some people have already heard it. I don't really do Facebook. Sorry. Some people send messages on Facebook, and I don't really get them. But I sometimes get notifications on my email. See, I'm not totally without it, you know? And a couple of weeks ago, a friend used Messenger. I believe that's part of Facebook, you know? I know it sounds ignorant to me, but there are other people who would be with me on this. I have to kind of sign up to get this message that's come, and I do, and suddenly I get this app. See, I can use all the words. I get this app on my phone, and this little thing, and I can see it's got little numbers by it that tell me that I've got lots of other things from Messenger as well. And I look through them, back to something like 2015. It's your own fault. I didn't ask you to send me messages. There weren't that many, because most people don't do it by Messenger. But there was one, okay, there was one that was from 2017, and I hadn't seen this. And it was from, I didn't recognize the name either. But it said this, okay. Dear Bob, you probably won't recognise my surname. Her surname is Claire Wagey. Huh? But I used to be Claire Taylor. I have thought in the past about getting in touch and realised you're on Facebook. I've often thought about contacting you because I want to thank you for your input in my early life as a Christian. What? Really? I always associate Assembly Walk with my coming to faith, and it was through Sunday School and Friday 7, that was a children's group that I did for about 16 years, all those years ago, that I grew so much. There were many others that contributed, but I do remember your enthusiasm and dedication to children. That's gone. Forget it, guys. Do you know what? I didn't have a clue. I knew Claire. I remembered Claire. Actually, it's Jim's niece, Claire Taylor. I remembered Claire, but I had no idea I had any influence on her at all. She's just someone who was there for years, and it's really nice. I didn't realise I meant that much to her. Do you know what? You never know. Now, I've got something in here. Excuse me for wandering about. Could you get that out for me, darling? Thank you. Sorry about darling on the... here, you know. I am talking to my wife and not to Wes. Just want you to know that. Okay. Wes, do you think you could open that for me, please? That's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Gorgeous. I can't wait for the mampering night. You and me both. Right. Do you know what? What I've got here are
mustard seeds.
Mustard seeds, apparently. Mustard seeds. Okay. They're mustard seeds. I thought they were mustard seeds myself, but apparently they're mustard seeds. Right. English again, yeah. Yeah, someone take him out. Okay. Mustard seeds. Do you know, Jesus said if we've got faith the size of a mustard seed, incredible things will happen. Do you know, it all, our faith, our beginning, everything we do about Jesus almost starts with something the size of a mustard seed. Sometimes the first thing you do is just like a little mustard seed. I just want you to see. Well, you can't. That's a mustard seed. Can't really see it. So Wes is going to do something. He's going to go around because it's good for him to do something. Would you go and give everybody a mustard seed? I don't know, pass it around or whatever. Just a mustard seed. I just want to say to you that Jesus plants something in our hearts when we get to first meet him. But let's recognize him more and more for who he is. Let's realize that in our lives, he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the greatest there is. You will never meet anyone better than him. And when you are in your worst place, he is still King. And the more you work with him and the more you get to know him, the more you'll love him, the more you can be with him. Do you know, I'm going to pray now. Wes asked me about a song. I don't know what song you could sing about this. My heart is full at the moment, so I'm just going to pray. Father God, I pray that every single person in this room this morning will know you for who you are. I pray for all those who have problems at the moment, all those whose hearts are heavy, all those facing difficulties. May they know your grace and your love, and may they know you to be King, to be the one in charge, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the reason for them being here in the first place. Father God, I pray that you will bless everyone here with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. You will get your mustard seed. I'll come round and bring it round to you in a second. Do you just want to say?
Just want to. Earlier in the service, I was actually going to share that verse about mustard seed, because what Jesus said was, if you've got faith or you believe in me, it's just as small as that grain of mustard seed. He said a couple of things. One, you can pick up this plant, you can pull it up because it's not a difficult thing to do. But with the same faith, you can look at a mountain and say, move, and that mountain will get moved, however long it takes. And I just want to say that sometimes, we come to a mountain in their lives, something really big and looming and large, and we think, oh, what on earth do I do? And what we do is what we should be doing every day with the smaller things in their lives. Sometimes it's easy just to go into automatic mode and perhaps forget to spend time with Jesus or thank him for what he's done. But they're exercising their faith in those smaller things. And when we come to the bigger things, that faith will help us through. And, you know, that's what it's about, fixing their eyes, not on the mountain, not on the smaller tasks, but on Jesus, because he's the one who's in us and with us. If, you know, I know some of you are facing tough things at the moment. If you want prayer afterwards, then ask.
Thank you. Can we give Bob some encouragement today? Can we give him a round of applause? Yeah. Do you know what Bob's talking about? Well, you were just saying as well. I mean, Bob, when he first became a Christian, wouldn't have been standing at the front of church speaking or preparing a 6 pages of finalised notes, whether it be drafts beforehand and doing all those things. He would not, you know, when he first became a Christian, when he was just a mustard seed, he wouldn't be thinking, I'm going to be speaking at church in a few years' time. But doing those little things and those little things, God led him down a path that had him leading a youth group and impacting lives and then coming here and impacting our lives by sharing that message. But it's good to encourage him as well for doing that because, you know, that was great. Thank you, Bob. There is going to be tea and coffee at the back, biscuits. Is there any pastries? Sometimes there is. There are some pastries as well. But, you know,